Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
Friends of Africa and Africans and missionaries to Africa. Glad to have you all here today. And appreciate you coming up to share. There's a few others that are wanting to come in, but I want to give Brother John Essel all the time possible that he can have for 45 minutes. So I just want to introduce him briefly. John, Mr. John Essel, not Dr. John Essel, but he's pro-chancellor of Knutsford University in Legon, Accra, Ghana. And he's a good brother that grew up in the Nsawam Road Church in Accra, and has become an entrepreneur and educationalist. And he's got a very impressive campus that he's building in Ghana, Accra. He's married and has five children. Such a young man. He's also on a mission network that is developing in Ghana. It's called Continental Missions Network. He's a member of that, and he's got a great vision for mission and for entrepreneurship, which I really, really am glad to hear, because we need, in the conversation we were just having a few moments ago with another brother from Ghana, who's with us, was talking about how so many of the Pentecostal people in Ghana, the churches, are mobilizing their own members in various fields so that they can be, you know, kingdom people out there wherever they send them. And I think we should be doing that sort of thing. And so I'm very excited that John Essel is one of those who has this mindset, and he has a lot of actually Nigerian students coming from Nigeria who attend his school there in Accra. So John, thank you for coming. I'll turn it over to you. You can say more if you want to introduce yourself.
It is still morning, so I greet you all. Good morning.
Good morning.
In my language, I would say Michia Munina. That is good morning. Yes, so I bring the greetings from Ghana and from Africa, and I'm also very glad that this morning I've had the opportunity to speak with very prominent people like you, children of God, interested in the gospel of Christ and missions, especially when it comes to Africa. Sometimes the name Africa scares many people. And so I'm always glad when I see non-Africans interested in listening and hearing of what is going on in Africa. Africa is also part of, you know, God's creation. And I think to some large extent, we are all brothers and sisters. And I'm also very happy to speak to the issue in the form of a question: what God is doing in Africa. What God is doing in Africa. I believe this is the very first part of it. My other colleagues will talk to the other part. And so, as I said, I first bring you greetings from Africa, and Ghana in particular, where I live. Africa, as you know, is the second largest continent in the world. It is also the second most populous continent, with about 1.2 billion people in 58 countries, representing nearly 16.4% of the total world population. And so this is a land of many people that needs to enjoy all the blessings of God. All the blessings of God. And I'm glad I'm coming from there and I'm talking about what God is doing. And so what is God doing in Africa? God is doing so many things in the other part of the world. Is Africa left off? No, I don't think so. God is doing many great and wonderful things that pertains to life. In Africa, through many people, institutions, and organizations. And today, I would like to share with you briefly some of the great things he's doing, especially in the area of the gospel of Christ, through the following institutions. I would like to be brief and possibly leave more time for questions and discussion. And that's what I intend. So I will talk to three institutions that God is using in blessing Africa and in spreading the gospel of Christ and in meeting the social needs of the people of Africa. First, I would like to share with you that of Continental Missions Network, and I would also like to share with you in our Real Church of Christ, where I worship. And then I will also share with you Knaxford University College, a college which I founded and mainly to use it to facilitate the gospel of Christ. And it's really working well. Yeah. As I said, my other colleagues, is it the spelling is wrong? My other colleagues from the other parts of Africa will also present to you the wonderful things that is going on in the rest of Africa. Good. So first on CMN. CMN was established by the brother and a former elder in charge of missions for over 40 years at the Zion Road Church of Christ. And he is in the person of Brother Dr. Douglas Boateng, Ekwuemoen Boateng, about 3 years ago. I'm sure Douglas has been here, those of you who are familiar with him. Actually, he is a businessman, and I can tell you he's one son that God has blessed us in Africa, together with others of his caliber. They are doing extremely well, and Douglas is particularly interested in mission work. Back in, at his own road congregation, he was actively in charge of mission work, both local and international. What he does is, wherever he sends his business, he also makes sure the gospel is presented. And so, along the West African coast, wherever he has established his company, CCT, Continental Christian Traders, he also makes sure that the gospel of Christ gets to people. And the main objective is to partner with other mission organizations, especially churches and individuals interested in African missions, to win and claim Africa for Christ. In actual fact, it also seeks to promote the objectives of the Africans Claiming Africa for Christ conference initiated by Vice Brother Sam Shoemaker and others in 1992 in Kenya, Africa. This is the summary of what CMN is about. Not to work alone, but to look for partners, congregations, institutions, and individuals who are really interested. As I said, Africa is made up of over 1.4 billion people, representing 16% of world population. I'm not too yet too sure how many of these people we have worked for Christ yet, but it tells you there is a whole lot of huge work that has to be done. And we were really thrilled and happy when this conference came up in 1992, where we realized that Africans themselves must stand up and partner with Americans and others who, by his grace, he's made us receive the gospel to win for Christ the rest of the unwinned, to go to places we haven't gone yet, the difficult terrains and the problems, the Africans understand some of those things better, and they are toughing to do some of this work better. And that is exactly what CMM has, you know, accepted to do. Today, the group is seriously working in some of the most difficult and unreached parts of Africa, including Senegal, Gambia, Guinea-Bissau, Mauritania, and Mauritania. A little about Senegal. Senegal is a West African country with about 60 million people. About 92% of the population are Muslims, and about 7 considered Christian, but predominantly Catholics. You know, Catholics. We were there not too long ago for the last African clearing conference, and most of the congregations in Africa came, including some brethren from America. And we had a nice discussion as to what is going on in the other parts of the world. And we strategized together as to how we can overcome the problems and also grow the Lord's church as he wants us to be. CMN support for Senegal missions has led to the establishment of 3 congregations in this devoted French-speaking Muslim country. And that we consider very laudable and remarkable. As I said, Brother Douglas has a company in Senegal, and before CMN was established, when he was at Insaon Road, established the church, but the church this time is strengthened by the role that CMN played in ensuring that the gospel of Christ is preached to this predominantly Muslim community. Equatorial Guinea, now this oil-rich Spanish country, also in West Africa, with a population of about 894,464, is predominantly a Catholic community. About 87% of the people there are Catholics. And here again, CCT went there and established themselves, and as part of their objectives, established the Lord's Church as well. Today, CMN has taken over and is actively working there and sending missionaries and other logistics that will be needed in this country. We always tell the story here, and I think there are times that we get a bit too late. Actually, in this country, the Pentecostals came to seek from the Churches of Christ there how they could begin Pentecost Church there. And Brother Douglas gave them all the things they needed to do, and they followed. It's amazing to see that today they are taking over from us. Their presence is much more felt there, probably as a result of some, you know, better inputs and facilities and logistics that we didn't have. But at least we've been an opener to some of these institutions. And this country is coming up, now learning English and opening up to other communities. And so it makes the place interesting for us to do more of God's work. Okay. Now, Mauritania, with a population of about 4.2 million people, is nearly 100% Muslims. Nearly. And it's one of the most difficult countries to work in Africa. And it's actually considered a crime to preach the gospel or to have Christianity there. But I'm happy to tell you that CMN has identified few faithful and committed Christians and is supporting and working with them to win this country for the Lord. This morning, I think we're listening to Brother Chris and spoke about some of the interesting experiences in the Muslim community, North Africa and other parts. And actually, those working in Mauritania are not different from such experiences. Their life is actually, you know, at stake. At any point in time, they could be killed. Any point in time, they hide in tents and in caves and in forests and obscure places and worship God and to tell the gospel to others as well. And CMN is working very hard, you know, to make sure the gospel of Christ goes there. Now, Gambia also has a population of about 2.1 million, and with nearly 90% Islam community. And here again, CMN has intensified mission support for Gambia and planting more congregations in this country. Now, we have to reach the unreached. We have to reach the Muslim community. People we one time, you know, feared. People so radical, we have to get to them. And people in support of CMN are ready, you know, to put their life online for this purpose. And Guinea-Bissau, which is the current, you know, country that the group is focusing. It is a Portuguese-speaking country, also in West Africa, and it's currently where CMN's support has reached. The Church of Christ has been established there, and workers are being sought for this country. Guinea-Bissau has a population of about 1.9 million people. You know, I brought in these populations for us to appreciate the number of people we are talking about. And if you would want to look at the percentage or the ratio of people who know God the way we believe and understand, sometimes it's very insignificant. And these are all people who need the gospel of Christ also. They together gives us the 16.4 million billion percent of the world population that we have to consider. Of course, I have outlined some of the challenges in my presentation. Language is a big barrier. You know, Africa is made up of many, many local languages. But officially, we are also divided with our colonial masters. And so you'll find the English there, you'll find the French there, you'll find the Spanish there, and the Portuguese as well. Some of us coming from Ghana are mainly English-speaking country, and Nigeria and others. But as we carry this gospel across, we are confronted with language barriers. There are times we have to use interpreters, and it's better if we intensify our knowledge in other languages and do better. Again, inadequate workforce, missionaries, evangelists. One, you do not find people who are well committed, devoted by themselves, and not led by the love of money for this work. I'm sure seasoned missionaries, some of you are seated here, will know that this is a calling. This is a calling, not just for money, but you must have the call. And we lack such people. Politically, religious barriers is also there. Some countries, by law, you don't have to preach any other religion except that which the country approves, and that is a problem. Again, some of these countries politically aren't very stable, and so few times when you travel to this country, you actually pray that God's presence is upon you. That is a barrier there as well. Again, inadequate data or information, country record, prospective partners, and the rest. That also do not help us a lot. Sometimes you would like to know about the history of some of these churches, whether some work has been done already. And of course, Brother Sam Shubika and Missions Network resources sometimes helps us a lot. We do get good information from them, but it's still a problem when it comes to recorded, data in Africa. Again, we don't know all of the partners or institutions or churches interested in working with us. Lastly, which is obvious, financial and logistic constraints. So these are some of the few challenges that this room institution is facing. Our request to all of you is for you to constantly and fervently pray for members of this organization and the work that we do. In fact, that is key to us. And I'm happy, or I was very happy this morning when you prayed for those of us in Africa and working in African field. We need a constant prayer all the time. We also need partners, churches, organizations, and schools. We have done a lot of talk at leadership level, and we think that if congregations interested in African missions would want to partner with notable churches with eldership in Africa and such institutions, we can better do the work and get better results for the Lord and for ourselves. And so it's no longer about our individual effort, but we now need that collective effort to make much more impact. I didn't get you the statistics, but I think it's obvious the effort by the Muslims, to win Africa is very phenomenal in Africa today. Even in Ghana, Ghana used to be predominantly a Christian community, but you could see that the percentage of the Muslim community is reducing that of the Christian percentage every time, all the time. And so they are working very hard, and we must intensify our efforts. As I said, we also need personnel for evangelism work and for those willing to go on mission work. For retired missionaries, your experiences will be much helpful if you can't be there yourself. Again, we also need mission and teaching materials in various languages that I have mentioned. In Equatorial Guinea, for instance, we need materials written in Spanish. And I think Guinea-Bissau in Portuguese. And so these are things we are unable to print ourselves. And so we will appreciate any of the people who would like to help. And again, if we are blessed with any logistic and support, I think the group will be interested. And so that is what God is doing in Africa using Continental Missions Network, led by Brother Douglas Boateng. And some of us, we are glad some of you seated here are also part of it. And I believe God will be glorified, and Africa will truly be one for Christ. And so you may want to read more. I wasn't able to get the pictures, but if you get to our website, we have pictures of some of the work that is ongoing, and you will be able to appreciate what they are doing so far. Briefly, let me talk about the Zion Road Congregation. Zion Road Congregation has been an old church, close to 60 years, and of course the first congregation in Accra, the capital city of Ghana. I have been there the last 40-something years. But I'm not too old. I came there very young, little child. I'm glad I've grown to this level. And the Lord God continues to use His Zion Road congregation, where I serve as a deacon, you know, to do many various wonderful work, including local church planting. Most of the churches in Accra has actually come out from the work of His Zion Road and beyond Accra as well. And so in the area of missions, benevolence, and education. In Accra Park, His Zion Road is also doing missions work in Mali in partnership with North Bolivar Church of Christ, and has established 3 congregations in the past 17 years. I visit Mali often. The last time I was there was in this past March. Went there. And I was telling, it's interesting listening to some of the converts. It's really interesting hearing God what God is doing there. They have wonderful testimonies to give to the glory of God. And I tell you, Mali is also about 95% Muslim community, but yet they are willing and crying for the gospel of Christ. There was one particular village we visited, and the name Christ has never been heard before. The entire village, and when Christ was preached, people, including the leadership of the community, you know, embraced the teaching and asked that the church be established there. Today the church is there. Today the church is there. Now, we have experiences of other areas where you may not get the adults, but they will give out their children. They will give out their children. And so we have people doing work in children ministry. And the last time we went there, one family, Malabi family, is organizing and working with about 600 children. 600 children. And he will bring them together, teach them Christian songs, teach them Bible quotations, and the children sing and recite these quotations happily. And these are some of the wonderful work that the Lord God is doing. Also in South Sudan, Zion Road is pastoring a congregation in America here, you know, to do that work. Currently, the workers have been recalled because of the insecurity and the political, you know, violence there. And two gentlemen, and we, CMN, is trying to work with them until the place is safe for them to go back. And so this is what Is Our Road is also doing. And all congregations who are really interested in partnering churches with eldership, I believe, will find this congregation very useful. The last, of course, the request in Zion Road will have is working partners, and that's what they are looking for. And the elders, you know, could be contacted if any has any help to offer. The last but not the least is Knoxford University College. This was a college, by His Grace, I founded in 2007. And in actual fact, it is affiliated to Ghana's premier university. That is the University of Ghana. And it's also accredited by the National Accreditation Board of the Ministry of Education. In actual fact, in Ghana, you are not allowed to, you know, award your own degree until after some time. And so when you start as a university, you become a university college. And you must be attached to any of the chartered universities until after 10 years when you have the minimum requirements, faculty, facilities, then you could be given your own charter. And it's Dr. Tavia is here, he will tell you, very difficult to get an affiliation with our first and premier university, University of Ghana. And we tried and we have that with them from the beginning. And so all the graduations we've done in the past 5 years, people from Nasford College receive the degree of University of Ghana. And that is very, you know, remarkable. The college currently offer programs in business, information technology, and computer science, and will soon mount graduate degrees and expand its program to cover other relevant areas, including Bible and missions. In actual fact, we are in partnership with Ghana Bible College in Kumasi, the second biggest city in Ghana. And we are running some of our programs there, but hoping to develop and get accreditation for the Bible programs that they run. Luckily, Heritage Christian College, which some of you might be aware, have received accreditation, and they are running programs including Bible and other mission-related programs. Well, it is part of Nasford's objective to give help and scholarship to Church of Christ members who cannot afford university in Africa, especially in Ghana. Part of the reason we set up that institution is to help people. You know, I tell my own story. I never had the opportunity of having parents who could afford my university degree. And so I had to really struggle and look for alternative means to do further studies and to, you know, get some degrees. And our system was such difficult that if your beginning is rough, it's not right, it's really very difficult to get along the mainstream. And so I have prayed all the time that one day if God blesses me with opportunity, I'm going to give to others what I did not get. And it's one reason for establishing that college. And I'm happy to say that the Lord God, what God is doing in Africa through Nasford is to empower, you know, young men and women to acquire Christ-centered university education. The college recognized the important role of higher learning in the development of the human being from the Christian perspective. And we are happy to have graduated close to 1,000 people since the school began. And we have also offered several scholarships, you know, to members of the Lord's Church, various kinds of support. And today some of them are working, making living, supporting their other siblings and family members. And they are also supporting the church and working, you know, for the church as well. And so this is what God is also doing for the people of Africa. And this is not just Ghana alone, but Nigerians and other West African countries who, you know, happens to be at Nasford University. What Nasford needs currently is to, you know, partner with some Churches of Christ universities who are well experienced and have the knowledge in shaping Christian, proper Christian university education, so we can learn from them and be able to offer very high quality level of education. Again, from business perspective too, Nasford is looking for Christian businessmen, women who are willing to invest in education, who are willing in education. I tell people, having entered into the business of university education in Ghana, it's never been easy at all. It's not easy. You have huge standards to meet, and our economic level doesn't allow you to charge realistic fees. Sometimes when partners ask, how much do you charge do you charge per year? And you mention to them, and it's very insignificant. Eh? For instance, in Ghana, a whole year, a student is paying just about 1,000 USD, you know, for the degree program. And I mean, compare $1,000 a year to, you know, what Pepe don't charge. You see, so that is very insignificant. But it will also interest you to know that very few people can pay this amount. Very few of them. And we need it. We need education. We are worse off without it. And we don't also just need any form of education, but quality education, Christian-based education, that will really change and affect kingdoms in this continent. And that is what Lansford is also looking for. We'll be very much happy to get Christian, you know, businessmen, women who are really interested in developing education. There is joy and fulfillment in that. And of course, in business-wise too, you wouldn't lose. You wouldn't make losses at all. But as some and others have visited our campus, and we try as much as possible, you know, to do something. We can't match you here, but we can come close. And so that's what we are doing. And the Lord is doing with Lansford University also. So, briefly, these are some of the things that the Lord God Almighty is doing in Africa. And we Africans appreciate it so much. We still believe we have a long way to go, but a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a step. We are willing and ready to take up all the steps. We really also appreciate the input of you people, the people of America. God have used you in blessing us so much, in bringing us the gospel, in enriching your life, living your comfort, and staying with us, and ensuring that we understand scriptures. Today, you have and trusted this faith in us, and some of us are continuing with what you left off. But we still have a huge work on that, a huge field to be explored in all aspects of human development, especially the kingdom of God. And we will still count on you. God bless you.
I spent three weeks in Ghana in November 1997 with Josiah Tilton and Ghana West Africa Missions Group. Mm-hmm. We went to check on World Bible School results, and there was Michael Atta, who one of our women over in Hermosa Beach had helped convert through World Bible School, and he met me at the old building where you're at, and he found me. There's five white guys in the whole 700 that day, and Michael found me. What a blessing that was. And anyhow, Fred Asiri had just, through the people in Ghana, had bought that 23 acres of land that became Village of Hope.
Oh,
there over by the ocean. And we were involved in mission work in medical bishops. And the missionaries, the medical people, were doing so much good. The tribal chief there in Feta donated another 25 acres of land. And the kids in the school, they made enough money. They bought 50 more acres so they could grow their own food. So Village of Hope just took off like crazy.
That's it.
And up north in Yendi, we were also interested in water wells. And they were there when some of them were being dug. And what a blessing that was to see the water come gushing up. And people didn't have to walk 6 miles with the jug on their head. So what a blessing that was in the 3 weeks I spent there.
In Ghana.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for this testimony. In Adfaf, I didn't talk much about Village of Hope and the water project because I know that is well known to some of you. You can't tell the blessings that this has brought to the people of Ghana and Africa and the souls that God has won and is still winning through this project. And we are glad you did that.
And even up in Yendi, a lot of the Muslim people are signing up for World Bible School. It's amazing the things that they're doing.
And in actual fact, I became converted through Word Bible School.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
One thing I'm not seeing, of course, is understandable, is a team from America coming annually as it used to be. Mm-hmm. We used to live very close to where the church site is sited in Accra today. And I used to see them come in numbers, distributing tags, talking to people. Mm-hmm. And those days, young as I was, I approached them to find out what exactly they are there to do. Mm-hmm. And I remember they pulled me out there to tell me what they do. And they went through this chat a few minutes with someone who loves you. And I couldn't get everything, but at least I got something. And so Word Bible School is doing phenomenal.
Yeah, I knew Jimmy Lovell would help start the thing.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. it.
Yeah, I used to get his dollar bills that come in the mail, you know, wad it up and mm-hmm. write him a check.
We thank you very much for your presentation. We'd like to, any of you have questions, other right. questions that you'd like to ask?
You mentioned that in Mauritania, the illegality of Christianity there. Do you get much pushback in the other countries from the Muslim community?
Not all. For instance, Mali. Mali, for instance, I said it's about 95% mm-hmm. Muslim, but they are very receptive.
Okay.
Very receptive. You can walk to any of them and talk to them, and actually nothing will be done to you. Mm-hmm. In 2 years ago, when we visited, I think with some American brothers, we visited their public university. They have only one national university. And we're given the opportunity to interact with their graduate students. You know, these are students learning communication and translation, all of those. And we were allowed to use Bible as the case, study book. And we were allowed to discuss Jesus and Muhammad, you know, openly, academically. And we raised questions, and questions that, you know, made they themselves students challenge the deity or the powers and authority of these two, you know, personalities. And Christ was seemed to be, you know, uncomparable to any of these. So not all the countries, yeah. not all.
I
of
think
them.
Mali is somewhat unique.
Unique,
almost,
yes.
Yeah. Exceptional.
Yeah, Senegal,
Senegal
is
well.
Also,
yeah.
Provided you know how to talk to them. You don't condemn them, mm-hmm. and once you are not condemning them, they have no problem with you. Mm-hmm. Your business will be to convince them of your faith and allow the Spirit of God to help.
But in Mauritania, if you're carrying a Bible on the street, you can be arrested. They're found.
And
so
of course,
make sure your Bible's on your phone.
And of course, in Mali, even in Mali, the northern part of North of Mali is hostile, very hostile. The last time we went there, we have testimonies of situations where some of those rebels will just enter any house, any room, and set through. If they found any people related to Christianity, Bible tracts or cross, you are dead. They just burn your house. Straight away. And so life there in the northern Mali, it's very difficult, but a certain part is very cool.
So in the most dangerous parts of those countries, like Mali and Senegal, how do they treat foreigners who they think are Christians? Are they violent with them also?
How do they treat foreigners? Of course, the foreigners, you will have to be careful how you project yourself. I remember the last conference we had in Senegal. We educated ourselves sometimes to be wiser, not openly going out there to say, I'm an evangelist, okay? But other services you can offer those services and use those services to spread the gospel of Christ. We remember there are times you wouldn't even have to travel with your passport as a missionary, but it could be your your trade occupation. And if you are coming in, say, as a medical doctor or as a teacher or as a lecturer, nobody has a problem with you. So wisdom then allow us sometimes to hide our real identities and you know, do other things and use those things to,
yes, you know. Yeah. Being shrewd as serpents.
Now, the university that you founded, are most of the classes in a different language or English?
But mainly English now. But we do French for students without English for some time, and then they can take the classes in English. So it's done in English.
So can somebody come over for like a year and be a teacher if they have appropriate...
Oh, beautiful. We really welcome and are looking for visiting lecturers and professors. In actual fact, we have a place prepared for them. Where I live, I'm sure...
John,
how would you like to continue?
I just wanted to ask, is there some measure of accreditation that they would need to get with the government of Ghana in order to teach as professors?
No, they just have to meet our minimum teaching requirements, okay, which I believe every lecturer here, you know, does. And then, two, depending upon the duration, we need to get them a working permit, which is not a problem at all.
Right.
Luckily, but our guest interior works with the education department, and even though now a member of parliament, he still has a very important role he plays when it comes to teaching and learning in Ghana. And you really don't need any major form of approval or certification, other than the fact that academically you must be qualified to teach. And actually, that is part of the help we are looking for. Mm-hmm. If we will find professors in various areas to come spend some time with us, we are willing to give accommodation, transportation, meal, and you know, to help that. Yep.
Let me recommend that anyone who has that interest in knowing more about that, you could talk to John, but also to Brother Augustine Tiwia over here, as you mentioned. He's in the education department in Ghana, so it would be a good idea to have a conversation with him. Go ahead.
Let me just add one small thing. And we have a congregation meeting on his campus.
All right.
The university, we have a local Church of Christ where my family and I attend. And so we work with the students and the community as well. So while they get all their degrees to prepare them, but looking at their potential, you have students, at one point the students were 70% coming from Nigeria.
Yeah.
So instead of taking the gospel to them, they have come to us.
Yeah.
And so we have an active campus ministry, we have a church there on campus, and you can be a huge influence. Just friendship evangelism.
Mm-hmm.
Take some of the students out, help them with their internship, and show concern, and that can be a huge movement even for God as well.
Yeah. Okay, folks, we need to wrap up because
just regarding the churches in Equatorial Guinea,
yes,
you might want to speak with the churches in Spain.
Beautiful.
And regarding the Portuguese churches,
okay,
you might want to talk to the Portuguese missionaries working on the African continent in trade language Portuguese countries now.
Okay.
They might have things that could help.
All right.
Thank you very much, Bruce. I just want to mention that we're in a series. This is the first part of a series on, so what is God doing in Africa? And tomorrow, Brother Dalton Mutsima from Johannesburg, South Africa, will be teaching a class.
And what will he cover tomorrow? What will be his topic? I mean, I know the overall topic, but what's...
What's your topic?
What are you sharing with this group?
I'm sharing on the ministry, purposeful living ministry, what it does, and leadership development, and all that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and then on Friday, Brother Peter Egure from Abuja, Nigeria, is going to take the class, and he's here as an elder in the church, and very well known.
the chairman of the registration of the Churches of Christ in Nigeria. He's the chairman. So, a very prominent leader in Nigeria. So hope you all can come back and share these other sessions. Okay.